Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, just had this conversation with Vic Loomis, but the story is breaking as of a couple of minutes ago, the Detroit News, talking about Muslims calling for a federal probe in the Quran burning, and the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations calling on federal law enforcement authorities to investigate as they would, as if someone left a burned cross at an African-American church or Nazi symbols at a synagogue. The story is not going away. I want to welcome in our next guest, and that is Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS Newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Now, we have a debate, but we don't have agreement on exactly how the debate came about or what the significance is. We have conflicting messages on that. They can't even agree to debate on how the debate happened.
Well, you know what, though, all things considering, I mean, the fact that they were able to have a meeting today, I think, was, I think, a good sign. I mean, the media didn't know about it until well after the fact. And, you know, I guess the bottom line is that we're seeing that Rick Snyder does want to have a debate, which I think is encouraging. I mean, yeah. Rick Snyder is up so big in the polls right now that political analysts would argue all over the place that he doesn't really need to, but right. I think he sees that it's important that the public get a chance to see these candidates side by side. Now, he was careful today to tell us that he doesn't see this as the job interview.
Right.
He thinks that the town halls that he's been doing across the state are more the job interview. But it's encouraging that he's willing to get up on stage with Verge in at least that form, and it appears that he's also going to do the Detroit Economic Club as well, which isn't really a debate, it's just kind of a joint appearance. But, you know, that's also very good. And it seems like Rick was pretty accommodating with this debate, too. From my understanding, he had actually a personal engagement on that day. It's obviously a Sunday, October 10th, and he had his daughter's birthday party of some sort. I don't know if it was for his daughter or one of their friends, but he actually had to call the wife to make sure it was okay to have the debate on that day. So, you know, it showed that he was willing to shuffle his personal schedule around to at least make it happen, so I think that's good.
Someone suggested that Rick Snyder's going to do very well, if not in the actual scoring of the debate, but everyone knows that Verge Bernero is a skilled debater.
Mm-hmm.
He does it as well as anyone, and the assumption is that he would slice and dice Rick Snyder in a debate.
Mm-hmm.
If Rick Snyder shows up and does a decent job, I guess it's depends on your expectations. He could come out of this pretty well.
Yeah, I think he could. You know, you got to remember that Rick Snyder's favorables are really, really high. In fact, there was a national poll that showed that for a first-time candidate, his favorables are almost unprecedented. People really like this guy. He's made a great first impression. And I tell you what, if he goes on there and does just a mediocre job, I think folks are going to be impressed and enjoy him. You know, the only way I think he bombs out is if he develops a massive stuttering problem or he flips off the camera or does something just absolutely ridiculous. Then we can say, well, he lost the debate. But anything short of that, I think people who already like Rick Snyder are going to make apologies for him if he does something like some kind of brain fart or a flip of some sort. I think that he will turn out okay, and I think the classic example of that is George W. Bush.
Yes.
You know, that guy was a horrible debater, really. Absolutely horrible, and yet after it was all over with you know, whether it was John Kerry or Al Gore, the polls always came back and said, oh, yeah, well, he did all right. He's just kind of like one of us, and, you know, he did just as well as we would have done. That's unbelievable, you know? So that's kind of my expectation on this, too.
Well, when you expect someone to step on stage and promptly wet themselves, I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that Rick Snyder is going to, as you say, flip someone off or do something that outrageous. I guess we will see how it all plays out. But it will be fun to see him on the same stage and have that kind of exchange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ideas.
I'm glad they were able to work it out.
You know, it's interesting because we talked with Derek Wallbank yesterday, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some polling, according to Public Policy Polling, that Rick Snyder isn't just popular in Michigan, but he has the best favorability numbers of any Republican gubernatorial or senatorial candidate in America.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is.
Well, and I think it's a couple things. I think that he really comes across as a regular person. He's not a politician, and that's what people are really demanding out there right now. They don't believe that the traditional politician is serving them well, and they really see Rick Snyder as one of them, and as somebody who's at least honest about who they are and is intelligent and thinks that he's got something to offer the state. He's had successes in the business sector, and he's his nerdiness is charming. They're charmed by it. He's not pretending to be somebody that he's not. And from what we understand, he was willing to step up and do these debates despite the advice of his consultants. So people really like this guy. It's really pretty remarkable.
8 months ago, Kyle, just before the Super Bowl. How many people could have identified Rick Snyder in the state of Michigan?
Maybe his family. I mean, maybe that's it, because up here in Lansing, we didn't know who he was. You know, right. Rick who? I mean, he could have walked in the door and we wouldn't have had any idea who he was. And it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, to think that he had, he was 2% in the polls way back then. I mean,
right.
Donald Duck would get 2% in the polls if he was on a poll. You know, it's really kind of amazing to see the progression and what a good message that this has really turned out to be. I think we remember those Super Bowl ads, and you know, I remember scratching my head thinking, boy, this is really, really ingenious or really, really stupid. I can't figure out which one it is. And, it's turned out to be really ingenious.
I guess it wasn't that much before that we thought we had this race figured out. And maybe Mike Cox was in it, maybe Pete Hoekstra, but
mm-hmm.
John Cherry was going to be representing the Democrats. And you look a long time and not find these people now.
Yeah, I know. It's a totally different atmosphere, you know. It's tight money. It's kind of a different message. I mean, it's not the same old political cycle that you're seeing out there. People are demanding something different, and Rick Snyder's really taking advantage of that atmosphere right now.
I had a chance last Saturday at the Michigan State-Notre Dame game to talk briefly with David Layton, Democratic candidate for attorney general, and I know he is also behind in the polls. Secretary of State and Attorney General races tied directly to the gubernatorial challenge?
Mildly, I think.
Okay.
You know, it's not like either of these, the Democrat or the Republican ticket, are really running as a slate. You know, they're all kind of doing their own things. And, you know, I think that the Republicans on both sides, the Attorney General and Secretary of State, are benefiting from, you know, general momentum that Republicans are feeling or experiencing statewide and nationwide. And I don't know how much of it is them personally and how much of it's just that momentum right now. How many people know Ruth Johnson or Bill Schuette? I think folks probably do have a good understanding of who he is if you've been dialed in the last 10-20 years in the
right.
state politics. But you know, a lot of that, the campaigns on those have been very low key. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of ads, if any, and we haven't seen a lot of mail. They're just different kind of races right now, and so that's why I think in the polling you're seeing very different numbers. It's a lot closer and maybe represents the true base gut feeling right now of people between Republicans and Democrats.
Every so often, Kyle, we hear from Mike Rogers, and yes, he is running for re-election.
Yeah.
I don't think he's running. I think he's jockeying for re-election.
Yeah.
But in terms of the 7th Congressional District, that is an all-out sprint, and I think they're smashing each other with sticks as they head down the track. But we have Mark Schauer and Tim Walberg, and any indication of a trend or how you see the momentum going there?
You know, I think if the Republicans had a candidate that was similar to Rick Snyder, this one would probably be all over.
Right.
The thing is, though, is you can't call Mark Schauer a career politician and then turn around and say that Tim Walberg is anything but that,
right.
You know? I mean, they're very much the same kind of profile, right? I mean, you've got a career politician versus a career politician. So
Right. Then
you got to kind of break things down to the next level. You know Mark Schauer, and you know what Tim Walberg did in Congress. And then you kind of getting into their records. You know, they both have a record now, and now
mm-hmm.
they're beating each other up over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gets into personality, I think. I mean, do you like Tim Walberg? Do you like Mark Schauer? You know, and I think Mark Schauer, you know, the base numbers and the political atmosphere out there are completely working against him, and the guy should get smoked. But
right.
In the end, I don't know if he will. I mean, Tim Walberg is not ever lit the world on fire. I mean, politically. I mean, when he's won, it's been by the hair of his chinny chin chin. Now, granted, he lost, you know, by the same token, by the hair on his chinny chin chin. But you know, he's not anybody who's going to electrify the independent voter out there, those who decide elections and saying, yeah, god darn it, you know, we're going to put Tim Walberg in there and things are going to change over there. Well, we had Tim Walberg in there, and you know, it's a different dynamic. You know, it's not like up in the UP where you got Dan Benischek, who came out of the clear blue sky and can frame himself as the complete outsider, because it's really what he is. It's a different dynamic, and you know, Mark Schauer is just charming enough and just polished enough and has a winning atmosphere that, you know, who knows, maybe you pull this thing off. I do know one thing about Mark Schauer: I never count him out of any race because he hasn't lost one yet. So I can just never count him out, even though the polling would suggest that you should.
Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS Newsletter, our guest, and also columnist for City Pulse. Kyle, I guess I should know this, but what's this week's piece in City Pulse?
Well, this week I talked about the Republican Party going after, and not Republican Party, but some candidates on the Republican side going after the transgendered people in our community. At the Republican convention, they were used as kind of the new wedge issue of 2010 in the Michigan State Board of Trustees races, some action that the board had taken to protect transgender people against discrimination was used against the incumbent Don Nugent to the advantage of the challenger Mitch Lyons. Mm-hmm. Then the Secretary of State race, too, Paul Scott had used the transgendered folks to frame himself as a lot more conservative and to the right of his challengers. And Ruth Johnson, who eventually got the nomination, jumped on board that at the last minute, too, to try and keep all the super conservatives from going in that direction. So it's just a commentary on that, and of all the things that are going on with our state, if you know, picking on such a slim, tiny minority of folks
right.
in our community was really serving anybody. And you know, my commentary was no.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle Malin, our guest, the editor of MERS Newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Check that out this week. It's always a good read. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jack. Thanks.
We'll be right back with Dr. Timothy Zelensky. Mason Dennis talking about a very important event coming up with Carefree Dental. We'll be right back on Ebling and You.